This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. President Obama's tour of Asia comes at a time of change in one of the region's most volatile relationships. China and Taiwan, a longtime U.S. ally, have been at odds for more than half a century. Now, the two countries are enjoying their warmest relations in years, and NPR's Frank Langfitt found on a trip to Taiwan, some people there are worried. They say China is trying to do with money what it failed to do with missiles and threats.
China's viewed Taiwan as a renegade province since the days of the Chinese Civil War. In the mid-1990s, Beijing was so angry with Taiwan for flirting with formal independence, it fired missiles towards the island during an election campaign. Taiwanese responded by giving the pro-independence candidate a clear majority. In the past decade, though, Taiwan's economy has struggled, and the country has lost much of its swagger. After years of resistance, the government has decided to increase economic ties with China. Taiwanese President Ma Ying-jeou says he had no choice.
As mainland China is rapidly becoming the second largest economy of the world, obviously we cannot avoid doing business with the mainland.
Ma approved direct flights to China last year. His government is also working on agreements that would cut tariffs for Taiwanese products and could open the door to more Chinese investment. President Ma insists none of this will affect Taiwan's status as an independent country in all but name.
There has always been risk in dealing with mainland China, but there has always been opportunities as well. So my job as president of this country is to maximize opportunity and minimize the risk.
Joseph Wu served as Taiwan's de facto ambassador to the United States in 2007.
If Taiwan cannot separate itself from the Chinese economy, talking about political separation is going to be hard.
Wu is also a member of Taiwan's Democratic Progressive Party, which opposes the current opening to China. The United States has protected Taiwan for decades. And Wu says Americans have a vested interest in the island's fate.
We hold the same value of freedom and human rights and democracy with the Americans. And any damage to Taiwan's democracy or that Taiwan is to be sucked into that authoritarian country, the United States should be concerned about that.
Those arguments, though, seem to make little impression on Taiwanese business people. Most applaud President Ma's policies. Yancy Hai is CEO of Delta Electronics, which makes everything from cooling fans to digital projectors. Until last year, he had to spend an entire day flying from Taiwan to Shanghai. That's because, for political reasons, the Taiwanese government insisted travelers switch planes in Hong Kong. Hai says the direct flights are vastly more efficient.
Okay, when I fly to Shanghai, it takes me about 90 minutes. So I can go to Shanghai in the morning and come back in the evening.
Hai says warmer economic relations are also creating business opportunities.
One of the biggest appliances company came to us from China yesterday. And in the past, we never talk about business.
Why would they never come to see you before?
In the past, I think because of these restrictions, both psychologically and physically.
Some young people support President Ma's policies because they see their future in China, not Taiwan. It's a Friday night at Taiwan's National Politics University. Students are practicing tap dancing outside. Wang Junhong is a finance major. Taiwan's government just signed a banking agreement with China, and Wang hopes that will make it easier for him to find work in a bank in Shanghai.
Shanghai is financial center of China, so I guess there will be much more opportunity to get a good job or get a higher wage.
But where Wang sees opportunity, Anya Liu sees threats. She's sitting nearby playing guitar. Liu worries the president's opening to China will usher in a flood of mainlanders who will take the best jobs.
I'm really against this. Their population is just too big and they're too capable. There's nothing we can do about it.
Liu also thinks Taiwan's leaders are playing into Beijing's hands.
The Ma government is too close to China. It ignores the interests of all the Taiwanese people. So in the end, all our political sovereignty will be obliterated.
Letitia Fong is an associate professor of journalism at the school. She says China's economic power is beginning to influence her profession. The Dalai Lama, Tibet's spiritual leader, came to Taiwan earlier this fall to pray for victims of a typhoon. China, which calls the Dalai Lama a separatist, criticized Taiwan for letting him in. Fang says when a Taiwanese TV anchor appeared as a guest on China's state-run television, she also criticized the Dalai Lama. A few years ago, Fang says, that would have never happened.
Media people, some media people, they are just sucking up.
As you watch this occur, what's your greatest fear?
Well, media should be the window to the whole world. But instead of being the window to the whole world, it's only advocate for China. So, yeah, we lost the cultural autonomy.
The Dalai Lama's visit has played out in other revealing ways as well. I'm standing here in Kaohsiung. It's a tourist town in southern Taiwan, and just across the water is mainland China. Back in September, the Dalai Lama came here, and the Chinese government was so angry it took revenge on local business people. In fact, the Chinese Communist Party told government tour groups they couldn't even spend a night in Kaohsiung. C.S. Chung is assistant general manager at the Hotel Kingdom here. He says the ban cost him 1,200 room bookings. Chung and other tourism leaders complained to local officials about their embrace of the Dalai Lama. Chung says he made his position clear.
I really hope the government won't do anything that will infuriate the mainland and cause it to boycott our tourism.
As President Ma tries to forge economic agreements with China, he insists it won't affect Taiwan's autonomy.
Of course, we are very much concerned about our sovereignty, our identity. So in every agreement we sign with the Chinese mainland, you could read between lines. There's no political words in that.
But as the Dalai Lama's visit shows, separating politics and economics across the Taiwan Strait is getting harder and harder. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.